the Syrian parliament sets May the 26th, a fourth presidential election, the second such vote since the start of the Western-backed war on Syria in 2011. Iran says the ongoing talks with the remaining signatories of the JCPOA are aimed at creating a vivid picture on the removal of anti-Iran sanctions. The Gaza Strip records its highest ever daily toll of coronavirus deaths as the besieged enclave struggles with a shortage of vaccines. Thanks so much for being with us. First story this hour takes us to Syria, where parliament there says the presidential election will take place on May the 26th. In a statement, parliament speaker Hamouda Sabah said prospective candidates could submit their nomination papers starting on Monday. He said Syrians abroad will be able to vote in respective embassies on May the 20th. This is the second presidential election since the start of the Western-backed insurgency in an attempt to overthrow the Syrian government. The previous presidential election was held in 2014. If re-elected, Bashar al-Assad can stay in office for another seven-year term. Well, let's cross over to Damascus, joined by Mohammed Ali. Please fill us in on this latest situation in dealing with this presidential election set for May the 26th.
Yes, in a parliamentary session here today in Damascus, Speaker of Syria's Parliament, or People's Assembly as it's called here, announced the date for the next presidential elections in Syria, which is the 26th of May. Hamouda Sabah, Speaker of Syria's Parliament, said that starting from tomorrow, those who wish to run for presidential elections, candidates should submit their requests to the higher constitutional court, and they have 10 days for doing so. So starting from tomorrow and until the 28th of this month. They also, those candidates, in order to become presidential candidates, they should also win the approval or votes of at least 35 members of Syria's parliament. The parliamentary elections will happen on the 26th of next month, and also Syrians abroad who are not inside Syria can take part and vote for their candidate via Syria's embassies on the 20th of next month also. This is a very important, of course, election because this time most of the Syrian territories are under the control of the Syrian government and the Syrian army, unlike previous elections in which there were many areas controlled and occupied by terrorist groups. And that fact deprived and blocked many Syrians from taking part in those elections. There were also, during previous elections, whether presidential or parliamentary elections in Syria, there were attacks by terrorists, by mortar shells and other kinds of attacks on those areas that the Syrian's electoral centers, meaning over here. But this time, most of the country is under the control of the Syrian army. Thus, it is now safer for Syrians, and it is also accepted by many Syrians, and many Syrians can take part now in such elections. So we have to wait and see who will apply for a presidential candidate. We have to point out that last time, in the previous presidential elections, there were several candidates who actually requested to run for this presidential election. It's a very important date for Syrians in general. And we have to point out also that if you ask Syrians on the street, it seems that most of them do actually want to vote for President Bashar al-Assad if he runs. Of course, we have to wait and see, because he is the president who won the majority of the acceptance of Syrians, because he led this war against terror on Syrians, and also led the Syrian army in their victories against all of the terrorist groups that attacked Syria in the past 11 years.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that update. Out of Damascus, Mohammed Ali. Iran's ambassador to the international organizations in Vienna says the ongoing nuclear talks there are aimed at creating a vivid picture on the removal of anti-Iran sanctions. Qasem Gharibabadi said it is necessary to identify and list the required measures to remove the sanctions. He said the U.S. seriousness in its claims to return to the nuclear deal and its commitments should also be verified. The envoy also noted that the principles outlined by the leader of the Islamic Revolution are the basis for the negotiations by the Iranian team. On Saturday, Iran's chief negotiator Abbas Araghchi said a new understanding is being reached, though serious disagreements remain that need to be addressed.
Iran's lead nuclear negotiator in Vienna, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, says a new understanding is being reached amid attempts to revive the Iran nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. Following a joint commission session with JCPOA signatories, Russia, China, Britain, France and Germany, Araghchi said negotiators can now start working on a common draft.
Drafting can begin at least in the areas where the sides share the same views. For that purpose, the Iranian delegation has prepared its drafts both on the nuclear measures and sanction lifting, and has presented its drafts to the other parties. And we believe these texts can form the basis for negotiations and a final agreement.
Although the nuclear measures that Iran needs to take to come back to full compliance are clear, there is less clarity when it comes to the list of U.S. sanctions that need to be removed.
China maintained that all U.S. sanctions should be lifted immediately. May it concern sanctions against Iran or its long-term jurisdiction measures affecting third country entities and individuals, including those on Chinese. So, we are looking forward to such a drafting exercise.
Iran has remained steadfast in its position that it will only act after verifying the U.S.'s removal of all sanctions, including those imposed additionally or relabeled under former President Donald Trump. Although there have been no direct talks between Iran and the U.S., American delegates in Vienna have been engaged in talks with the EU coordinator and the other JCPOA signatories. Iran's lead delegate says there are still some serious differences that need to be worked out. For now, the expert working groups have been tasked with engaging in more substantive work for the next few days. Homolezki, Vienna.
Iran is marking its Army Day by staging limited parades involving only military hardware due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, the event this year mainly focuses on parading military vehicles and showcasing domestically built weapons inside selected army bases across the country. Because of COVID-19, authorities decided to cancel March Pass. In Tehran, various types of drones, tanks, anti-aircraft batteries, advanced missile systems, different kinds of electronic warfare systems were put on display. Iran has always maintained that its military might is for defensive purposes. Iranian affairs expert Karim Shahrarah says the Islamic Republic has boosted its military capabilities despite sanctions imposed on the country.
Iran has never stopped improving on its military capabilities and showcasing its military capabilities. Now, be it COVID or any other times, I mean, Iran has been through even more trying times than this and has still managed to advance its military capabilities, as you said, its defensive capabilities, so that we are where we are today. I mean, just last year, Iran unveiled its underground ballistic missile sites. I mean, Iran has always improved on this, even though it's been under sanctions for most of its life. I mean, from going from where Iran was to now producing ballistic missiles, precision missiles, and I think it's very telling that even though Iran has been under attack for most of its life, has been on the defensive for most of its life, it's also been able to score so many advances in the region, geopolitically speaking, because the people of the region know that Iran has been on the defensive and that they've been on the defensive against the Western onslaught in the region.
Gaza Strip has recorded 23 new deaths from coronavirus during the past 24 hours. That's the highest ever daily toll of virus fatalities there. According to the health ministry, total COVID deaths in Gaza are now 761. The Palestinian enclave had been largely spared by the illness for much of last year, but in August, cases were recorded in its densely populated refugee camps and jumped in recent weeks. That comes as Israeli blockaded territory struggles with the shortage of COVID vaccines. Gaza has so far received only 80,000 doses for the population of some 2 million. Authorities have imposed a curfew as part of measures to contain the disease. Let's cross over to Gaza City, joined by Bashraf. Shannon, tell us about the situation there. It appears to be deteriorating rapidly.
Yes, Mazi, the health situation due to COVID-19 is very critical. Currently, around 400 patients are in critical condition. Around 200 of them are on ICU beds, while the rest of them are just giving are hooked up to oxygen tanks because hospitals do not have enough ICU beds to take care of these COVID-19 patients because of the ongoing Israeli blockade since 2007 that has taken its toll on all aspects of life, especially the health sector. Not only blockade, but also previous Israeli wars and military aggressions. At least 23 patients have died over the last 24 hours because of the coronavirus. Currently, over 90,000 infections have been discovered in the Gaza Strip, mostly since late August 2020. While verified active coronavirus cases are over 22,000. A population of 2 million only received 80,000 doses of vaccine, which is enough to inoculate around just 40,000 people. Less than 1% of Gazans have been inoculated, while the Israeli regime that continues to place the blockade on Gaza has inoculated most of the population. Yes, the situation is extremely dangerous, and soon the health system could collapse because of this COVID-19 pandemic that has entered its second wave in early March.
Ashraf, are there any efforts of trying to get vaccines from other places? There are several vaccines coming from different parts of the world. Do you have any idea if there are any efforts going towards that or working towards that in the Gaza Strip?
Well, the Palestinian Health Ministry is appealing for international support and also appealing to the World Health Organization. Israel has been dragging its feet when it comes to inoculating Palestinians, whether in the occupied West Bank or Gaza. This is just another example of the apartheid policies of the Israeli regime. The situation, as I said, is extremely dangerous, and many here believe the silence of the international community, and they also blame some Arab countries, especially in the Persian Gulf region, who normalized ties with Israel. They believe that such normalization has encouraged Tel Aviv to further violate the rights of the Palestinian people, especially the right for vaccination.
All right, thanks so much for that update out of Gaza City. Ashraf Shannon. Well, Germany holds a national memorial service for its nearly 80,000 victims of the coronavirus. The ceremony in Berlin will be attended by Chancellor Angela Merkel and President Frank-Walter Steinmeier. The ceremony is being held with the attendance of a limited number of people due to the pandemic. Germany is struggling to curb a third wave of the disease, which has hit the nation hard. Germany recorded over 19,000 new infections and 67 deaths over the past 24 hours. Well, Canadians have taken to the streets of the city of Toronto to protest against lockdown measures implemented by the government to curb the coronavirus pandemic. demonstrators chanted slogans and held signs calling for lockdown measures to end. They called the restrictive measures illegal. Protesters also urged authorities to tell people the truth, arguing that they are rather facing a pandemic of fraud. They urge other Canadians to come out to fight for their rights.
Freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of peaceful assembly affects all of us. So we invite everyone to come and join and fight for that.
Now, the protest comes against the backdrop of a steep rise in COVID cases in the country. In Ontario, more than 4,300 new cases were reported on Saturday. Projections indicate the virus could spike to 10,000 per day in June if more strict restrictions are not implemented. Ontario Premier Doug Ford has been under fire for what protesters call his mishandling of the pandemic. He, however, blames the federal government for the spike, saying it had been too slow to wrap up vaccinations. Going south from there to the United States, where an analysis of gun violence from various databases show police killings of individuals continue to go up unabated in the U.S., with the majority of victims being people of color. According to the analysis published by the New York Times, at least 64 people have died at the hands of law enforcement nationwide since March the 29th. That's the day when testimony began in the case against a former Minneapolis police officer charged with the killing of George Floyd. Black and Latinos represent more than half of those people killed, with an average of more than three victims a day. The killing of 13-year-old Latino made public just recently sparked anger against police brutality. Meanwhile, fresh demonstrations have been held in the cities of Minneapolis, Chicago, and Portland against racial killings. And with that, that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is talking the art of
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 18th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you may know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. And the blessed month of Ramadan, regarded as the best month of the year for Muslims, has arrived. Ramadan is a time for Muslims to practice self-discipline, sacrifice, patience, and empathy. It encourages generosity and charity. In this holy month, all adult Muslims, except those who cannot fast due to different reasons, practice fasting from dawn to dusk every day. So, happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Jacques Augustin from France, Mohammad Fazli from Malaysia, and Massimo Lombardo from Italy. All of them are our regular listeners. So, Jacques, Mohammad, and Massimo, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. And a zillion thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later, during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Olmar Kuvik from Sweden, one of our regular listeners. Also, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And for your information, most of these emails and letters focus on the holy month of Ramadan, and most of them are congratulatory messages from our dear listeners. Also, we have an email from MD Salahuddin Dolar from Bangladesh, KP Munir from UAE, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Also, your Clemens Hoffman, one of our old listeners from Sweden, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Kamal Hussein, who has sent us a congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Stay with us, please. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm really impressed, you know, by the load of these letters, emails, and messages, which most of them focus on the holy month of Ramadan. They're congratulatory messages. First of all, we have an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar is one of our regular listeners who says, "May the blessed month of Ramadan be the harbinger of joy and prosperity to all Muslims around the world. And as the holy occasion of Ramadan is here and the atmosphere is filled with the spirit of love, here we hope this festival of beauty brings your way bright sparkles of contentment that stay with you through ahead. Happy Ramadan to IRIB family and all listeners." First of all, salam and greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. And please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Happy Ramadan to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and happy Ramadan to all our Muslim listeners. As you know, the blessed month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, and it is a very important opportunity for self-building and expurgation of the soul and heart. May we achieve these characteristics during the holy month of Ramadan. Anyway, many thanks for sending us this message, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Write to us soon, Dr. Kumar, and also tell us your views about our programs, especially those on the holy month of Ramadan. Thanks again, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Also, we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. MD Salahuddin says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Rajashi, Bangladesh. I am MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. It's a pleasure of me to inform you that I have been the father of a newborn baby boy. It is our first baby. His name is Muhammad Keshawar Hassan Shad. Please pray for our child that he will be honest, polite, and helpful to others." Salam and greetings to you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. So please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this email, and also accept our congratulations for your new baby boy. As you said, you named him as Muhammad, and that's great. Congratulations. Many thanks for sharing your good news with IRIB English Radio and our dear listeners around the world. That was great. We hope that your child, as you said, be honest, polite, and helpful to others. Thank you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. We wish you and your dear family all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. From Sweden, we have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar Kovic is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English staff," actually, this is English radio staff, "many thanks for your prompt reply. I'm glad to see you take the matter of transmitter defect seriously. I listened to the latest listeners special by using Parse Today on the web. So good that this option exists, but the web is not my hobby medium. I love radio. I must not forget to send you my wishes for a joyful month of Ramadan. of course, hampered by the coronavirus, but still with a special atmosphere and traditions. My wife Samka, 65, and myself, 86, live in isolation but go out for a walk now and then. Our daughter cares for our good supplies. Spring is so beautiful this year. To give us consolation, wishing you health, hope, and all the best. Greetings to you, Olmarkovic from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this really inspiring email to us in IRM English Radio. So you recently listened to listeners special on the web, but you prefer radio, as you said. I think that's quite normal. Many people prefer traditional means, like radio. Traditional radio, yes, most people like it. I do too. Yes, traditional means of listening to radio is much greater than, I think, other ways of listening actually to media. And Olmarkovic from Sweden, many thanks for sending us your congratulations on the holy month of Ramadan. But as you said, this Ramadan is hampered by the coronavirus. Yes, Muslims in different countries, because of the coronavirus pandemic, avoid gathering and or, for example, coming together for celebrations of this month. They stay home, but they practice the rituals of this holy month. Many thanks for sending us this congratulatory message. And as you said, you also practice your own pandemic era actions, like going for a walk with your wife and avoiding gatherings. Thank you. We also wish you health, hope, and all the best in your life. Olmarkovic from Sweden, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Many thanks. Also, we have an email from KP Monir from the UAE, one of our regular listeners. KP Monir from UAE says, "Let's celebrate the beautiful and blessed month of Ramadan, filling our life with happiness and bliss, as Allah bless us once again with prosperity. Happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world." First of all, salam and greetings to you, KP Mooney from the UAE, and many thanks for writing this message to IRM English Radio. Happy the holy month of Ramadan to you and to all Muslims around the world. May we reform our soul and heart in this holy month, which is the month of God. Thanks a lot for sending us this congratulatory message, KP Money from the UAE. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. Again from Bangladesh, we have an email from Kamal Hussein. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. I wish you all a very happy and a blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah accept your good deeds and prayers. Also pray to God in this blessed month to ease the suffering of all people around the globe. Happy Ramadan." Salam and greetings to you, Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, and happy Ramadan to you and all Muslims in your country and around the world. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We also wish you a very happy and blessed month of Ramadan. And as you said, may Allah accept our deeds and prayers. And also, we, like you, pray to God that in this blessed month, God eases the suffering of all people around the globe, especially the Yemeni people, the Yemeni civilians, and the especially Yemeni children. Again, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Wish you all the best, Kamal Hussein. Also, from Sweden, we have an email from your Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Your Clemens has sent us a message, a short message. Your Clemens says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in your heart and illuminate our soul from within. Happy Ramadan." Salam and greetings to you, your Clemens Hoffman from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. I don't know whether you're a Muslim or not, but thanks a lot for sending us this congratulation on the holy month of Ramadan to us in IRIB English Radio, and of course to our dear listeners, to our Muslim listeners around the world. As you said, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in our heart and illuminate our soul from within. We wish you all the best, and we wish you all the good things in this holy month. Your Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Your Clemens, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you in the future. We wish you all the best. Wishing you all the best in the holy month of Ramadan and all the time, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
What Biden did not admit is that the United States and its allies, with all their money and firepower, were unable to vanquish the Taliban, who currently control about half of Afghanistan and are positioned to control even more in the coming month without a ceasefire, says Jessica Corbett, writer, in an article published under the heading, "As Biden Plans Withdrawal, Analysis Shows Afghan War Cost at Least 241,000 Lives and $2.26 Trillion. Stay tuned for the details, please. In the wake of President Joe Biden's announcement that he plans to withdraw all regular U.S. combat troops from Afghanistan by this year's anniversary of September 11, 2001 attacks, experts at the Cost of War Project recently released an update on what nearly two decades of war has cost in both dollars and human lives. An estimated 241,000 people have died as a direct result of the war, and the United States has spent $2.26 trillion in military operations in Afghanistan and Pakistan since 2001 U.S. invasion, according to the project housed at Brown University's Watson Institute for International and Public Affairs and Boston University's Frederick S. Pardee Center for the study of the longer-range future. These horrific numbers are testament to the cost of war, first to the Afghan people and then to the troops and people of the United States, said project co-director and Brown University professor Catherine Lutz in a statement. Ending the war as soon as possible is the only rational and human thing to do, it added. The new Cost of War Project figures are part of a nearly decade-long effort by co-director and Boston University professor Nita Crawford to track the cost of post-9/11 wars in not only Afghanistan and Pakistan, but also Iraq, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, and beyond. The death tally includes U.S. military and contractors, Department of Defense civilians, Afghan and Pakistani national military and police, other allied troops, civilians, opposition fighters, journalists, and media workers, and humanitarian aid workers. The project notes that these figures do not include deaths caused by disease, loss of access to food, water, infrastructure, and/or other indirect consequences of the war. The financial costs include overseas contingency operations budgets of the U.S. Defense and State Departments, the DOD's base budget war-related increases, veteran care, and estimated interest on money borrowed to fund the war. It does not include future cost of veteran care or future interest payments. The DOD spending at over $900 billion in Afghanistan is a tip of the iceberg, Crawford said. The costs of the Afghanistan war include its escalation into Pakistan, millions of refugees and displaced persons, the toll in lives of combatants and non-combatants, and the need to care for America's veterans. The Pentagon's base budget has increased as well. Report these estimates so that the American people will have a better understanding of the scale of the effort and its consequences, she explained. The American people also lost some transparency here. A more comprehensive accounting is yet to be completed. It would include not just money that may or may not have been well spent, but the count of those wounded, those who lost limbs, and the tremendous psychological toll of decades of war on combatants and non-combatants and their families. The new numbers come after Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Rukana argued recently in an op-ed for the Washington Post that the withdrawal should spark reflection upon the enormous costs of nearly two decades of war and enable the U.S. to refocus on diplomacy as U.S. foreign policy tool of first resort. Executing a responsible and comprehensive withdrawal from Afghanistan is an essential first step toward Biden fulfilling his commitment to end forever wars, the lawmakers wrote. What Biden did not admit is that the United States and its allies, with all their money and firepower, were unable to vanquish the Taliban, who currently control about half of Afghanistan and are positioned to control even more in the coming months without a ceasefire. Nor did Biden admit that, in two decades, the United States and its allies have been unable to build up a stable, democratic, popular government or a competent military in the country. Benjamin and Davis activists also noted that while Biden is being pilloried by some for pulling out too soon, the truth is that he is violating a May 1st deadline for U.S. troops withdrawal that was painstakingly negotiated under the Trump administration. And anticipation of that U.S. violation has prompted the Taliban to refuse to join 10 days of United Nations-led peace talks set to start in Istanbul on April 24th. We must hope that in the coming months the U.N. will find a way to bring the warring parties in Afghanistan together and craft a ceasefire and a workable peace process based on power sharing, they concluded. After so many decades of war and intense suffering, much of it perpetrated by United States and its allies, the Afghan people desperately need and deserve an end to this war. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the little that we do in this month with the greatest of rewards. This is what this month is for. We do a little compared to what we are given in return. But what is important is that this little that we do is something that we do continuously. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that istimrar, or that continuous nature of doing these small acts even, but we do it continuously with a good intention, with a pure intention, especially knowing the time and the place that we are in. In the tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he defines and characterizes the holy month of Ramadan to us, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this holy month is that month in which you have been invited to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in this month you are the dhiyaf, that is the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been invited personally to come. And the door is wide open. You just have to walk through. And then the Holy Prophet continues, and in this month you have been placed amongst the people of nobility. Again, this month, as we mentioned previously, is specific, spring for a specific group of individuals. Those individuals who are the fuqara, they are the noble ones, they are the close ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month is something special for them. You have been placed with them in this specific month. Know where you are, with whom you're also sharing this month with. This is Then the Holy Prophet continues and says that your breath in this month is tasbih. Your sleep in this month is worship. Now, obviously, do not take this out of context. The sleeping during Fajr is not considered as worship, no. Sleeping at times, for example, when you are tired after praying Salat al-Dhuhr and Asr, being in a hot country, you know, wherever you are, if you're in a hot country and it's burning and it's boiling and you just need to take a rest, you know, just so that you can continue your either your ibadah in the evening or you can do your, you know, earn your livelihood in the morning. And then the Holy Prophet continues and said that your good deeds and your acts of worship in this month are accepted, and that your supplications and requests and du'as in this month are heard and responded to in a positive way. Hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever benefit we can gain from this month, and we have the capacity and capability to do so, we do so by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the means and by the tawassul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Immaculate Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
The Debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the motto of France is freedom, liberty, and fraternity. Many French would say that there is a major gap in the slogan of the country and reality on the ground for its people. This as the French National Assembly has passed a new security law giving police even more power. One of the most controversial parts of the law prohibits the sharing of images of police with the malicious intent. Now, critics say it is vague and can be used to stifle freedom and initiate a more severe crackdown. We're going to start off this discussion crossing over to Paris, joined by correspondent there, Chris DeHaan. Chris, well, fill us in on what this law could mean.
Well, concretely, this law means certainly a limitation of individual and public liberties. So the police impunity will increase, that's for sure. Police powers are increasing.